one more time. Jesus, I am here. Amen.
I am here.
Isn't that wonderful? We could take this time off to be here just for Him. And when we do that, we attract His presence. That pleases Him to come down and be with us, to give us what our heart's desire is. Let us come expecting it. Let us come believing it. And with the assurance, you shall go receiving it. When you stand praying, believe that you have received those things that you asked for, and you shall have them. Is that what He says? Does He keep every word? Amen. Blessed be His name. We certainly be happy to be here for the second climax. Amen. Went and take a little natural food, and we come back for the second climax. All things are ready. Father, let the fire fall. Amen. Let's sing our Bibles in Matthew 14. Also sing John chapter 6. Just want to take a little drama this evening. We had a lot of deep things this morning. I know many of you may be still trying to let it settle along in the heart. So we just want to kind of maybe set back, breaking up on a scene in the Bible, and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Amen. Matthew 14. We're going to begin reading from verse 22. And this little portion just follows the portion where Jesus had broken the bread in the evening time to His disciples. Amen. So after He broke the bread, and you know, he gave it to the disciples, the prophets and the ministers, to distribute it to the people. So a little time passed, and those disciples having a great testimony meeting. They've seen a lot of things that really happened. But then all of a sudden, they came to a rude awakening, to a great reality that they had caught themselves in. And I feel that is like how it has been. In the evening time, when the Son of Man took the bread and broke it and distributed it, and we've been rowing for a little while, you know, in our little boats, as it were, you know, crossing over on the other side, and we run into all kind of problems. But it was in that hour He come walking on the water. Amen. I want to preach this evening, come, one word, come. And for a little subject, be of good cheer. It is I, Bill Lafferty. Isn't that some spooky thing? It's the same one who broke the bread. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain privately to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." The word came identifying himself to the disciples, the followers of the revealed word that Elijah had introduced. Amen. And he identified himself to take the fears and the doubts out, to blow the flus out, and get all the funny ideas out, and say, "It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou," in other words, "thou who had discerned my heart, thou who had broken the bread, thou who had said, 'I am the resurrection and the life,' thou who had said, 'I am the living bread, come from heaven.'" Amen. "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Amen. He didn't say, "Bid all of us." He didn't. He said, "Bid me." If they want to sit and call the Spirit, it was up to them. But something was happening in his heart. He said, "Bid me come." And he said, "Come." Amen. That's what he wanted to say this evening. Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Amen. St. John 6. Same scene. But we want to get something the way it is said over here. Remember verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. First it was evening. Then they went out on the sea. They rowed for a little while. And then it became dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 520 or 30 furlongs, and for the past 20 years, we've rowed about 20, 25 furlongs. Amen. They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I. Amen. Be not afraid. Then they willingly receive him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land to which they went. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of the of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, unto which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of some words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost who dwelleth in us. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. You could come back and sit here in your presence to hear your word. Lord, just brood upon us. As your prophet said in that message, Lord, seed shall not be able to shut. That the Holy Spirit, the Logos, is brooding upon the churches again to bring forth that genuine image once more. Spiritual evolution,
yes, Lord.
Transforming your people,
amen.
Changing them from glory unto glory,
yes, Lord.
Until they come back in that same image. Oh God, as we sit under your presence tonight, as the word would come forth, maybe like a guided missile, may it go deep down in the needy place of our hearts and lives, may it break the spirit of fear and bondage, may it be the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind, may it bring to the supreme confidence, Lord, that we can come, Father, as you call us and would bid us to come into that high level of faith in this hour to see our ministry of the spoken word be manifested.
Amen.
Lord, outside a rupturing faith without going out of the church.
Amen.
It is promised, Lord, it's not hard to ask those things.
Amen.
And Lord, as we gather here as believers,
amen,
we anoint these things, Lord,
yes, Lord,
for we recognize that word now, amen. God, have your way amongst us.
Amen.
We come to ourselves now and we thank you in advance for what you will do, for we pray and believe and receive,
amen,
in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
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 God bless you. May I have a seat. Well, I greet you again in the precious and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And sorry to keep you a little long this morning. Many the sisters don't even have a seat. Just in the floor there with the babies, all around the building. Many of the brothers packed in here. I know it's kind of hard to stand up for long. And sometimes when I get preaching here, I just get carried away. Because you make it so hard for me to stop. But I'm nevertheless going to try just to say exactly what I feel led to say. That might encourage you. and strengthen you in this hour that we are living in. And I certainly want to express my appreciation for the ministers, Brother Chatima, Brother Innocent, Brother Jeremiah, coming together to have this meeting and to give me the opportunity to stand and speak these things. And truly I appreciate them very much and believe they are real servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not forgetting the gallant interpreter we have here.
Amen.
You wouldn't like to interpret that, but we appreciate them very much.
Amen.
I think the Lord is just blessing them wonderfully. I so felt that this morning, and then their brothers were telling me that he was so inspired in the interpretation that many things that would not maybe make sense, you know, he was catching the understanding of it by the Holy Spirit and then putting that out for you so that you can enjoy it and be blessed by it. And, you know, it's very wonderful that we be in one mind. And when we come in one mind, there is no limit to what God will do. But sometimes to come in one mind, you know, we maybe have to be a little more flexible. We have to be a little more flexible to be able to accommodate one another, because we are all different and God will use us in different ways. And when we would look at one another in our different ways, what we really seen is not somebody trying to be different, but we seen the God of variety. Amen. And that is what God does. Because we look back in the Bible, when the Messiah was on the earth, and the message of the mystery of Messiah had to be sounded, and God was bringing gifts out of Babylon into Bethlehem, which would reveal the mystery of the Messiah. It was different gifts, diversities of gifts, and diversities of operations. Amen. One had gold, one had frankincense, one had myrrh. Sometimes we enjoy the brother who preached about gold very much and talked about deity and God being God over everything, and he's a king, King Theophany, and he's so powerful, and we just get excited. And then the next brother comes up and begins to go death and say you must die and you must rot and you must die to your own ideas. And when he brings on the milk, we say we prefer the brother who preaches about gold. Amen. But you see, it takes all the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, to come together to bring the full mystery out. And that gift, the real gift, it don't come by laying on hands. It's about predestination. That gift of God that we bring expresses our revelation of God. It identifies our place, that God has placed us to fulfill the work that he has called us to do. And then together, anointed with God's purpose, knowing what his objective is, then we can come together in a unity of the faith to work together to see God's purpose achieved. Not to establish ourselves, not to make ourselves something. We should never try to do that. But we should try to be humble and simple. Amen. And do God a true service according to his will for this age. Because God has not changed his mind about his word for this age. And if we have to do God a true service, there'll be 5 months. Amen. And when we see we have those 5 months, then we know we can do him a true service. We might be unpopular in doing it, But nevertheless, we are not called to be popular. As human beings, we all want to be loved. But the life of Christ is always rejected. So we must go through rejection. And this is the hour when that life is to be rejected. Amen. Because when it was in Joseph, it was rejected. When it was in David, it was rejected. When it was in Abraham, it was rejected. Amen. When it was in Jesus, it was rejected. When it was in the prophet, it had to be rejected. And when that time comes, it may look like a failing. It may look kind of like on a decline. It may look like it's getting weak. And this is where many people, they misunderstand God. But the prophet, being the scriptural man that he was, and understanding the mystery of Christ, and knowing where he was positionally in his ministry at that hour, could have understood his rejection. And instead of it bringing gloomy and despondent and frustrated, it produced an expectation for the crowning of his ministry. When the world was saying he was washed up, he said, friends, I'm not washed up, I'm washed in. Hallelujah. And he took the scriptures, and from the scriptures he identified that he was getting ready to be crowned. And to prove that his inspiration identifies experience in the word was correct. Within that was September 1962, and within about 3 years a vision broke. What time is it, too? Within 3 more months he was out there in Arizona in the Coronado Forest, which means crowning. Hallelujah. Taken up in a pyramid of 7 angels, and there was one with a swept-back wing with a silver sword. Hallelujah. A few weeks before, he was in Sabino Canyon, couldn't understand the vision. He wasn't certain. One moment he was looking for the message. Next moment he thought he was going to die. Amen. I said, Lord, what does this blast mean? What does this angel, this pyramid mean, Lord? And he had his hands up praying in sincerity. He didn't want to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Oh man. He was looking for a ministry of the third pole. Hallelujah. I wonder this evening, if while we are here and the heavenly vision, a seventh seal vision unfolding before our eyes, inspiration, giving prophetic insight to a prophetic bride. Hallelujah. And she, seeing the vision and know the hour of consecration has come. Because if God is making his word plain like this and coming so close to us, something is fixing to happen. No wonder when we come under the effect of the vision and we see that God has called us. Hallelujah. And we see that the hour has come, and we recognize the presence of God amongst us. We get ready. Something is fixing to happen. It makes us get on our rock of revelation and throw our hands up and say, oh Lord, what does this mean? What does this revelation? What does it mean? Hallelujah! And while he was praying, the angel put the sword in his hand. Glory! Thank you, Jesus.
You might be on your rock this evening. In your canyon of the revealed word, under the inspiration of the vision, and your hands up. Oh my, you're praising God. Lord, what does this mean? God must prophesy again under the wind. What is this vision? What is happening? You may feel an anointing, a revelation drop into your heart. God saying, fear not, it's only the third pole. Hallelujah. Amen. Fear not, it's only the third pole. Glory to God, amen. While he was there, he saw that sword. He looked at it. Gold, silver, and pearl. Exactly what Paul says. Amen. When you build this foundation, amen. Those who build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Hallelujah! Not wood and hay and stubble. Amen. It was a threefold. Gold, silver, and pearl. That sword was the king's sword. And the king's sword is his word. That was Michael's sword. Hallelujah! And the prophet on the Easter seal, 1965, he said, when those angels picked me up, there was that one with the silver sword. The sword he had seen in his hand, holding for a few minutes, in a symbol form, representing the word, his message that he looked for all those years under the healing. The healing never hit the spot. He said, I knew there's a message coming. Could this be the angels bringing my message? Hallelujah! And that message symbolized in the sword dropped into his hand. He said, fit my hand exactly. In the brother dream, 1965, God showed the word again, not as a sword this time, as a white horse this time. And he was in the saddle. He said, the saddle fit me exactly. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I could see the ministers. The sword fit them good now. Revelation 10 and 11. They just fit good. They sit in the saddle. They just fit right. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. And he looked up there and saw the angel with the silver sword. The same sword that was in his hand in the canyon. He had an angel with that sword. And on the wing of a snow-white dove, when he's given his testimony, 1965, he said, that angel who put that sword in my hand. Amen. And why can I speak? He said, Lord, you put that sword in my hand. May I take it and be strong and courageous and march forward to the third pole. Hallelujah! Marching forward to the third pole with the king's sword to cut our way 15 miles of Philistines to bring a clean, fresh drink for the king. It was in the harvest time, and the king had a desire. Amen. A lot of men have a lot of desires. But in the harvest time, in the wheat age, then Luther was not harvest time. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost was stoked, cattle, and shock. But in the harvest time, when the Son of Man is being revealed again, when the grain leaves the shock, in that time, when he's rejected on the outside of the church, on the inside, he was Son of God. But when they put him out, when the shock pulled back and let go the grain, all manners were taken me. Present state of my ministry. Hallelujah! He was getting ready. Jesus, a fugitive, on the outside of his church. Amen. Preaching his rejection. But with a promise that he's coming to power one day. And those warriors, they'll begin to pick up. Preaching 1963. Hallelujah. Preaching his rejection. And him coming to power. They knew that Samuel the prophet had poured anointing upon that rejected word. Then you, the Holy Ghost, was anointing that word, though it was rejected. Then you, that word, will come into power. It will write a book of Acts one day. Hallelujah! It will shut the critic's mouth. Hallelujah! It will shut the heavens, create billions of flies, start a rapture in faith to the going away. Hallelujah! Find the mamba in a nut. Hallelujah! They knew that word was going to come into power. Do you know it? That this word is going to come into power. Do you recognize that word coming into power? Coming from negative to positive. Getting greater and greater all the time. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen. And them warriors. David was a strange man. He was picking up quality. Abishai. Hallelujah. Glory. One man killed 800 with a spear at one time. Amen. It showed that he had no spirit of fear. It showed he was no coward. He was not going to be intimidated by all these big Philistines. No, sir. He had a spear. And he knows to use that spear. There's another one. All the rest had gone away. Amen. Maybe gone overseas somewhere. And the Philistines kind of move in. And brother, he didn't run. He didn't tell everybody, leave me alone. They put all the responsibility on me. Amen. I ain't going to risk my life. I am not going to risk my life. The rest of them should be here. He wasn't thinking so. He said, I'm going to defend my inheritance. He drew his sword. And he began to fight. Hallelujah. Glory to God, amen. He fought off them Philistines. The rest only returned for the spoil. There was one called Benaiah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But in a time of snow, in the cold season, when everything was frozen over, and it was cold and chilly, and nobody could praise God, all the little artisan, all the little broken cisterns that depended on local rain to fill it up, was frozen over, and had an old lion, roaring in a pit, and maybe he wanted some quietness. Satan going about like a roaring lion. But he went outside, somewhere that noise was, that uncertain song. Amen. He jumped down in the pit and killed that lion. Amen. One time some big Egyptian come with all his theology, all his big armor. How long in the message? How much experience has he had? But he covered his big long spear. He thought Benaiah had nothing. He took away his own spear and killed him with it. Those were the kind of men that David picked up in a time of rejection, and was anointed with the king's desire. Because in the harvest time, he was looking down at the well of Bethlehem. He had water, the prophet says. But by 1980, where is the water the sheep in the beginning? The well which is by the gate. And his name is in the gate. Hallelujah! And that was the most heavily guarded spot. Because the Philistines tried to control the water and the garrison around the well. And David, in the wheat age, in the harvest time, after he already had the warriors, though he had water, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. Denomination falls. Baptized in the name of Jesus. One God. He had water. Amen. He would drink that. But at that time, inside of him, David represented Christ. And God put in a type in the Bible to reveal the desire of his heart. Between his rejection and him coming into power, he was crying out for something. He wanted some water and a spiritual mind of a prophet. He said that water represent the real Pentecostal blessing, real true spirit worship. And as he began to cry for it, express his desire in the harvest time, yet some men, they got anointed. They lived so close to him. His heartbeat was their heartbeat. His desire was their desire. His wish was their command. They look out there and saw 15 miles of Philistines. And the spirit of fear, it couldn't influence them. Because they were already anointed with what the king wanted. They didn't study their own life. They didn't think of their reputation. They didn't think of their ambition. They didn't think of all the property they had. Amen! They was anointed with the king's desire. They had one objective. Get to that well. They wasn't going to go to any other place. Because David specified. God is a specific person. We saw that this morning. He is specific. He said, all I could get a drink from the water which is in the well by the gate. And those men, they forget their own desire, forget their own ambition, and because of a revelation, that word was going to come into power, to become anointed with the king's desire. Amen. They went out there and put their life in jeopardy. And fought. And they put that bucket down in the well. In those days, that they wore in skins. Amen. In skins. Hallelujah. Bring it up for the king. So that's what I'm thinking. As I see what is happening, as the heavenly vision is unfolding, and we see what God wants done with the word. Faith sees what God wants done, and faith operates through that channel. Amen. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. Amen. And that heavenly vision breaks, then we come under the effects of the vision, like the prophet was. He was looking. He was seeing that word come into power. He looked for it. He believed it. He gave his life for it. He preached it all inside of him. And that is what happened to us. We are beginning to see. There's a promise there.
Something we are fellowshipping on. A portion of the word that God is sending out an anointing to project out that portion. That is the portion that reveals Jesus in the present tense. In July 1986. Amen.
Amen.
Then we see what is happening. Our part that we have been caught up into. Amen. And when he drops that sword into your hand, when he puts that revelation in your heart, then you go forth under the inspiration of your revelation, looking for that prophecy to become history in your own life. Your faith has found a source that others in the message don't know nothing about. And because you have found that place, because God has opened up that channel to you, your faith is kept anointed. Amen. And the people can't understand you. You become a mystic. Because you're happy and you're smiling, they think you don't have trials. You have harder trials than them. But you're not flopping up your wings now. You learn to set them. And you use the air currents to take you higher. You don't train to lift up the log. You don't strain to lift up the log. You're riding on the log now. Hallelujah! You know, Brother Bram tell that story one time. But Paul Rader, when he was dying, and he had his dream, he was a lumberjack, cutting down trees. And he had cut down that tree, trimmed it, and then he tried to lift it up, and he strained and struggled. He couldn't do it. All of a sudden, his boss, he heard a voice, the sweetest voice that he ever heard, saying, "Paul, why are you struggling like that? What are you straining about? Don't try to lift it up. Right on it." Amen. And I believe that we have learned those things. That we don't become easily frustrated. Amen. God have allowed many things to come to us to train us. And as Brother Bram says, when he's out there in the woods and he'll go to hunt, God will reveal to him by vision. He's going to get this animal. He could describe the animal. It'll be in a certain place. And then one day a brother asked him, he said, "Brother Branham, why did God show you all these things?" He said, "He's training me." So when God shows him vision, and he goes out there, and he sees the vision come to pass, he learned to have faith in those visions. When he sees those animals, and then he would shoot them. Then when the time comes, and he comes in the service now, and God give him a vision of the prayer line. One will be coming with crutches. One will be in a wheelchair. And he sees them being raised. When he stand there preaching, and they call the prayer line. And they call the prayer line. And he sees them coming. It gives him faith. They're going to walk over that chair. Amen. Because God have already trained him with the animals. Amen. Now we live in three realms here on the earth. A little quotation. We break it into the text now. There's three elements that people live in. First is the humanistic realm. Second is the realm of divine revelation. And the third is vision. He said, "No, like in prayer. When you pray for anyone in the humanistic, you say, 'Well, I hope you get well.' You see, I'm hoping. I'm believing with you. Trying to use all the faith that I can. That's human. Second is divine revelation.
When something is revealed to you, you just know in your heart it's going to happen. It's just nothing but the revelation. And it is a vision. Of course, that's thus said the Lord. That's perfect and positive. Now, in perfect faith, he was speaking on page 16 and 17 about how the little boy was raised in Finland. He had seen him in a vision. He had seen the mountain ranges. Everything was set in place. He had seen that vision 2 years before. At that time, that boy was a 10-year-old boy. And that boy, Pierrons, might have had great hopes for that boy. We're going to send him to high school. We're going to train him just to be a good boy. Oh, he's our only son and we love him so much. They didn't know he was going to die in the next couple of years. They didn't know God had already shown a prophet in a foreign country what was going to happen. The prophet testified all over. He had seen the vision. The vision was the revealed word coming in the form of a vision. An event that was going to happen. And he saw himself playing a certain part in that event. It was revealed by the Holy Spirit. You get what I'm saying? So while he was there, he had preached to them because he believed it. He looked for it to happen. Then 2 years after, the boy is 12 years, and the prophet is in Finland. After a meeting, one day he's walking to his hotel. While they are walking, he's not thinking about the vision. He don't realize he's in the land. He don't realize this is what he preached is about to happen. He didn't know he was in the season for the fulfillment of what he had preached for 2 years. He didn't know that God was going to bring the manifestation. What was in vision form was going to come in manifestation form in the next few minutes. He's walking with the brothers and they're crossing the street. He looks and sees a bunch of people gathered together. It's an accident. A dead boy lays on the street. He's seen many a dead boy before. He's seen many accidents before. And he goes to walk away about his business. Walking away from the vision. Hallelujah. Glory. But God watches over his word. God keeps his promise. Not one jot or one tickle shall in any wise pass. While he's walking away, he felt the unseen hand touch him. I thank God for the unseen hand. It's here tonight. You might be walking away from the vision, but he's touching you, telling you you are in the vision. He had seen the vision. He had come under expectation for the fulfillment of the vision. But now he was in the vision. Hallelujah! And when he was in the vision, resurrection power was about to move on the scene, and he was moving away. Amen. And why are they going to move away? He felt a hand touch him. Amen. Amen. He looked around. He said, Jack, is that you? Wasn't Jack Moore. Amen. He looked on the other side. Nobody was there. And as he turned, he saw the mountain ranges. He said, I've seen that somewhere before. Hallelujah! Quickening power was quickening the prophet to recognize it's not down the road. It's happening. Present tense. He's in the vision. And the gear went in click. Hallelujah. Glory. It was a
situation under control. Glory to God, amen. The faith in the heart of the prophet was charged. When he saw his vision, the word that came in vision form was being fulfilled right there, present tense. It charged the faith in the prophet's heart. Hallelujah! What charges that faith? You know what charges that faith? When we see, after 20 years, the same God and the same identifying himself and showing we have come, the vision that we preach, that we have an expectation, looking for it to happen. Now we see that vision coming to pass. Hallelujah. Many of us got to walk away, walking away from the vision. And the Holy Spirit, like I told the prophet, get back in there. Hallelujah. God was going to prove his word by believers. Hallelujah. Who have believed God and believe God's word. And the prophet stood there with charged faith. Something happened. Oh my. They could look and see the gleam in his eyes. They could see the assurance pounding in his heart. The way he planted his feet. The way he looked at that boy. He didn't have to say one word to know what was happening. He didn't have to say one word. They could sense what was happening. He said, if this boy don't raise in 2 minutes, run me out of Finland. I'm a false prophet. Hallelujah! He had seen the vision. He saw himself fulfilling that part of the vision. When he was preaching that word that was revealed to him in the form of a vision, he was preaching, he was going to fulfill part of it. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. The bride is preaching a word vision, but she is saying she will write another book of Acts. She knows it is he in her fulfilling his own word that he left for this time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And when that time came, the setting was igniting faith in the prophet's heart. Jack Moore stood right here. But he didn't see the vision. He had it written in his Bible. But nothing anointed his faith. Hallelujah! He wasn't an expectation for the interpretation. But the prophet, for 2 years, was under the inspiration, looking for his vision to come to pass. And when he saw it, he didn't say, Jack, pray. He could say that. Hallelujah! His faith. You have to see yourself in the vision. The trouble is, many people have the vision right down in the book. Amen! But they never saw themselves in the vision. And this is the hour. God is touching the ones who have to fulfill the vision. Hallelujah! Letting them see they are in that hour. And these things are fixing to come to pass. He never spirit of fear and bondage. You are the spirit of love and power. Of a strong mind. He had moved up into the realm of vision. It was thus said the Lord. Amen. And here he says, as you're speaking in perfect faith about that boy being raised in Finland, he said, no, that's God speaking in this day through vision. But this, listen, if that vision is contrary to this Bible,
That would be wrong.
Amen.
Amen. This is more than the priest that he says. No, get what I'm saying. We live in two realms. In the humanistic realm, in the realm of revelation, and in the realm of vision. Now, if your subconscious and your conscious are not close together, you will see no vision. Then you have to get the word by revelation. But the revelation is just as good as the vision. Oh, hallelujah! Amen! We're coming to the third pole because the third pole is not no vision. Third pole is if you say. Amen. Recognizing you are in the vision. The word vision that comes to you by preaching of this revelation of that threefold secret. And you saw the prophet part, Moses and Elijah part, and your part. And your part in the vision is to prophesy the second part. To recycle back the unfulfilled part. Amen. So he said the vision is wrong. If it's contrary to this, the vision is wrong. It ain't of God. God will contradict his own word. So if this word told you something, then you can have the same confidence that that is going to happen. Amen.
Amen.
There's nothing. If you say lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, brother, if faith, that perfect faith, got a hold of you, when you pass by this prayer line, you'll be jumping and shouting when you left here. It's over. It's over. It's all finished. If you had a request in your heart and believe that when that prayer was made for that, it was going to be answered, there is nothing you discuss. That's what's going to happen. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it. And it came because he was the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. If you abide in me, and my Word abide in you, ask what you will. Amen. Be done for you. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, you shall have what you say. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. It shall be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. Now watch what he said to us. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. It will be done. Then recognize your position in the scripture as a believer. See, you've got to recognize your position as he recognized him. Now watch this. So here we see, in this day, when the prophet himself is waiting for a vision, and God said, what are you waiting for a vision for? I didn't promise you a vision. If you say, speak the word, it will happen. And then he comes and tells us this revelation that you are receiving of the word written in the Bible for this hour, which the soul in you is part of that word. And that word is only the written record of that gene that is in you, the attribute of God displayed in your physical body. And that seed is the word predestinated to the word written for the hour. Then when that word in you is watered by the Holy Spirit, as it grows and matures, it reveals the mystery of this word written in a condensed form. Amen!
Amen!
is written in a condensed form. It takes the life of that word to grow and mature and reveal what is locked up, the mystery of that seed.
Amen.
So here the bride coming to recognize her position in the world, seeing through her word vision that she was to pick up the last part of the ministry, and she had to come under expectation for the fulfillment of those things in her life. And many of us in this hour, when it's coming to pass, walking in a different direction, but God had to touch us, turn us around, put us back in the channel for inspiration. Then our faith could be charged when we see what we had seen in the word vision, now identified in our midst. Hallelujah! Then it brings us on the expectation for the interpretation. Amen. Right here in the Bible, we take this little scene. Jesus, after he had break the bread, he was the Son of Man. He was revealed by Elijah the prophet. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. He had come to his ministry. And here he was, after the healing, he was breaking the bread. Amen. And feeding the multitudes. It was a great meeting. He took 5 loaves. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther and Wesley, 2 fishes. And Malachi 4, another loaf. Amen. Luther and Wesley had a revelation. Amen. But Malachi 4, he had the same word that Paul and them had. Hallelujah. And he broke them. And here he was. He had fed the multitude. Oh, what a great meeting that was. They were moved that day. They saw so much things happen. They saw hearts discerned. They saw the sick healed. They saw the bread break and multiplied. And it was about evening time. And he dismissed the multitude. And while he was dismissing the multitude, his disciples, they got into the boat. Amen. And here they were. They was rowing. They was commissioned to go over on the other side. Amen. And they was having a nice time in the little ship. In the little fellowship. Amen. And they was all under inspiration of the things that they had witnessed. Oh, the heart was moved. It was burning inside of them. And a testimony meeting started. Oh my, everybody had something to say. And maybe as the prophet said, John was the first one jump up, being younger than the rest. While he was rowing, he became a little tired. And when he came a little tired, he was beginning to puff. And he said, let's stop a little bit. I want to testify. He had a hot burning testimony. He said, I'm so thankful to God that I'm calling this day, that I was able to see Elijah the prophet, and I saw the Son of Man, and I had the opportunity to be right there when he broke the bread, when he opened them 7 seals. Amen. I'm happy. And he began to testify. He said, my mom used to tell me about Jehovah, how he created manna for 2.5 million people. I wondered where he had ovens in heaven, where he'd bake all that bread. But today, I saw that Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. Oh, hallelujah. He was all stimulated over. And no doubt Peter, he said, all right, you can't take the whole service. I want to say something too. Amen. He said, I'm so happy. My father Jonas, he tell me about the Messiah. He will have the sign of a prophet. He will discern the secrets of the heart. And that day, when Andrew came and tell me, let's go to the meeting. Oh, it's a great meeting. I was kind of skeptical. I want to stay in my business. Amen. Glory. Is everybody decide to go to a meeting anyhow? And one day, when I saw him, he looked at me, and them eyes, like you're going to see right through me. Is that God, Simon, the son of Jonah? Hallelujah. He said, if you know what I did to me, I stood there in the midst of people. They was in the same meeting. When I jump up and shout, they didn't know what happened to me. But that word in that man was saying exactly what was going on inside of me. Then Nathaniel, he said, well, wait a minute. I want to say something too. And he began to testify. Oh, man. That day when Philip called me, we had a big argument. Because Philip always, you know, coming with some Messiah. And already had two false Messiahs who lead people in the wilderness. But that day, when Philip said, we have found the Messiah of which Moses did speak in the law and the prophet and identify it back in the Bible, something touched me. Hallelujah! I decided to go to the meeting. When I went to the meeting, from the time I walked in, I was right on the back. That man looked me in the eye and said, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And fell on his feet and I said, Rabbi, thou art the King of Israel. Amen. And for the past 20 years, we have seen them. All who was there, they tell all the stories. How they were there in the meeting. How they went early in the tabernacle. How they get in the front seat. How they was in the prayer line. How Brother Brown discerned the heart. How they went and hunted and fish. Oh, and they could tell us testimonies all week. And never run out of things to tell. Amen. They were testifying. Oh, they had great influence with the testimony. They demanded attention. They captivated audiences, giving the testimonies, not of the word in their life, of what they saw in the prophet life. Amen. And here they come rowing. They had rowed about 25 to 30 furlongs. And the weather was changing. The scene was changing. It's not like back in 1963. Hell is being created on the earth now. Hell is here. Sodom is here. Not in amateur form. In the fullness. You know, walk along and pack a Bible and say, I believe the message. It's to make the message live now. Amen. And they was all coming along, rowing the boat, gently down the shore, merrily, merrily. Amen. But what was happening? The weather was changing, and they was not discerning the change of the beat, the change of the condition. They were so taken up in the little testimony meetings that tickle the ears and make them look backwards, 25 furlongs away. Amen. They hadn't seen him for the last 25 to 30 furlongs. Since he had broken the bread in the evening time, they were having a testimony service. It didn't matter whether he wasn't there or he was there, as long as they got a platform to tell the stories. Amen. name. Hallelujah. But now the hour had changed. The conditions was growing contrary. Death and destruction was rapidly moving in. And before they realized it, they was on the brink of disaster. Oh my! In that little ship, they come to a rude awakening. The testimony services come to an abrupt end. Amen. When they look so influential, when they look so powerful, with all the testimonies, as the weather changed, they realized that the testimony was about something in the past, and the testimony had no power over the present condition. Death and destruction. The boat was shaking now. Not with the glory of God. Satan was shaking the boat. The powers of darkness was rocking it and shaking it. Amen. And it was getting dark. It was no longer the nice sunset. It was dark and gloomy. Amen. Oh my! Let the prophet tell a story about a little girl when the light was turned off. Oh, she wanted to faint. She began to scream. She began to go in a fit. Amen! Began to panic. Amen! They found themselves in a great struggle in the present darkness. Oh, they were struggling. All of a sudden, you hear Peter grab the oars. It only sounded authoritative. Amen. John said, "Come here, let me hoist the sails." Andrew said, "Pass the bucket and get out some water." James trying to speak the storm out of existence. Amen. Oh, my panic took them in the boat. 1986. The weather changed and the testimony services come to an abrupt end. Hallelujah. They're talking about Jesus, but they wasn't seeing him. Hallelujah. It was in the fourth watch, under the fourth seal. Hallelujah. Glory. The seventh seal, Christ, descended from the mountaintop. Hallelujah. Glory. And he come walking in the fourth watch and in the ship. They were talking about the word, but all of a sudden an atmosphere of fear and panic and disaster and the devil moving, and all the winds begin to unite to make a big contrary wind, and all the clouds begin to unite, and the devil begin to get in the waves and begin to push the ship all over the sea, and was using all human ability. Amen. Let me try a prayer meeting. Let's try a prayer meeting. Let me try a week of fasting. Let me have a marathon and run for Jesus. But try all kind of things. But it couldn't work. The sails begin to be torn in half. The oars was breaking. The boat was being full with water. And you can see the spirit of fear on their faces now. I know nobody dare testify. They was coming to an awakening that what they're talking about was back in history. Amen. Yes,
Look at it. The multitude had gone back. And this was the followers of the revealed word. That Elijah had introduced. Amen. And they were in the little ship having fellowship. Amen. And it was dark. Gross darkness had moved in. Because under the fourth seal, in the fourth watch, religion, politics, demon power begin to unite. The bottomless pit is open. Demon powers come pouring out. Hell is being created on the earth. Amen. The devil begin to get in the waters. The multitude of people. Hallelujah. And the devil was thinking he had the chance now. He will squash this little bunch of believers in the Son of Man. Amen. He thought he was going to destroy them. And though this child was praying, oh, I wish the Lord was here. I remember in those great meetings when he opened the seal and when he called the prayer line, when he discerned the heart, oh, he would know the answer. I just wish he was here. But the same one who had break the bread. Hallelujah! Who had told them he was the living bread that came from heaven. Who had unveiled the mighty God to them. Who had said greater than Solomon was here. That same one. Glory. He was coming back around a second time. Hallelujah. He was yet come walking on the water. Oh my. He was coming to meet the followers of the revealed word in an atmosphere of uncertainty, in a spirit of fear and bondage, all kind of little well-worked explanations, all kind of different things, own ideas. It was a hard time. Amen. It was very dark. It was dismal. You could hardly see where he was going. Amen. And here in that dark and stormy hour, when fear and despair had gripped the followers of the revealed word, in that perilous hour of uncertainty, amen, when he appeared on the scene, they couldn't recognize him. For the 20 years, the 25, 30 furlongs that they had wrote about, they forget he told them it was going to get dark. They forget he teach them to discern the signs of the time. Amen. But they were so taken up in their own little testimony. Amen. That the world had changed and Satan had set the trap. And they had gone right into it. Amen. And here in that hour, when he appeared on the scene, the same one had come back under the fourth watch. He came unto them with a message of identification. He was identifying himself. He came walking in the water, saying, "It is I." Hallelujah! Oh, he didn't come telling them about Herod. He didn't come tell them about Herod. About the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Or tell them something about Titus or something. In that hour, what was going to break the spirit of fear? Hallelujah! You see, Jesus, when he says something to you in a certain condition, That is what it needs for that condition. And he knew the atmosphere that they were in and the condition and the plan that Satan had and the assault he had made upon them, what was going to bring dominion and give them victory over the circumstances, was a message of him identifying himself to them in that hour. So he came saying, he came telling about John. Oh, how lovely John was.
He said, it is I. Be not afraid.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And watch it. In that hour of first darkness, like we are in this hour, he came with supreme power and control. He wasn't frustrated. He was in the same darkness. He was in the same storm. He saw the same waves. He saw the boat rocking. They were still like looking like in a better, more secure place. Because they were in a boat. Hallelujah! Oh my! And here he was. A message of identification and displaying supreme power and control, mastering all circumstances. He had the answer to the devil's question. Amen. And they who look like fishermen and who should be able to have better control in the sea, he who was like a carpenter. Hallelujah! Oh man! He can master all circumstances. Amen. Boy, as they begin to hear that message of identification, it is I. Who I? I who? I Jesus. Amen. He who discerned the heart, he who calmed the raging bull, turned back the wild hornet. Hallelujah. He who spoke to the storm. It is I. He who created the squirrels. Hallelujah. In that hour of crisis, great pulsations of faith. Amen. He was identifying himself. And he was not in fear. He was in a world of perfect faith. He had come to raise that little bunch into a higher bracket. To bring them into a higher level of faith. Hallelujah! And identifying himself in the midst was going to lift them in a higher level. Now we talk about the third Paul. And what we are looking for in this hour. And the Holy Spirit coming back around under the fourth seal, when hell is on the earth, when the devil is shaking everything, oh, and many hearts gripping fear, and all who are the testimony services look good for a season, but come to a rude awakening. It wasn't a message of testimony. It's a message of identification of Jesus' present tense. Amen. And Israel in the homeland. Page 124. Brother Ramsey, let me say this. Let me give you an illustration. Here's one fear. Here's another fear. And here's another one. Now down here is the nominal church. Amen. Amen. Like we're talking about them in the humanistic realm. Pray and hope it happens. Whom do men say the Son of Man am? I get the revelation of Jeremiah. It's John the Baptist.
is Elijah.
The humanistic realm.
But Peter in the realm of revelation. Hallelujah! Revelation struck Peter. It was as good as he saw a vision. Amen! The thought of the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't see no vision. He had a revelation. Amen. See? He said, he said, down here is the nominal church. Now, up here, is the sublime. Here is where we are supposed to be. Right next door to heaven. Where the powers of God are leaking down. Amen. It drops on this. And it drops down to this one. Then down to this. This is the nominal church. It just goes in cold profession. Little ritualistic affair. Pack the Bible. Go to church. Say a little prayer. Go back home. He says, they just get the very slight dripping. Next church up here, full gospel, get some of the blessings, but they go off in the ism. Little cliques in the message, little clans, little movements, little kingdoms built by men who get little outpourings of the Spirit. He said, but we have got to live up to this next year. Here. Before we can ever have a rapture. Exactly right. You've got to get into that before we can ever have it. And that's true. So look at this. The prophet, he was up there. He had the full blessings. But he got among the Pentecostals. It leaked off of him. They get a little anointing, run out, tell a lot of testimonies about the prophet. Whole audience is captivating. Like Gehazi. But they never come into the realm where the prophet was. Amen. But Brother Brown saw that we had to get up to that level before we could have a rapture. Not just something for the slight drippings where the power is leaking down, but live in a world of perfect faith. Hallelujah. And on the message, I know. Page 1. He was speaking about his first pull and second pull. And how he's moving into his third pole. And he was giving a testimony of a little child coming across the platform, which had been born blind. He was totally blind, 16-year-old boy. And just immediately, he said, let out a scream. But Abraham, I can see. The prophet was saying he was trying out. You know, that ministry. And as the sick boy was coming, he tried it out. And before the boy could reach him, he screamed out, I can see. And the prophet says, and so I trust that you are here with great anticipation. With myself, I am looking for something. I am preaching here looking for something. God to do for us and bring us up to another level than what we have been. And perfect faith. Take to the tree. He said, this is coming to that third pole. This is what we are waiting for. Amen. He said, I did this for a purpose. You call a prayer line. After you preach perfect faith, he was watching the people's attitude. I remember back home a couple of years ago when the Holy Spirit showed me, let the people come up. Many just write
a request. Saying that they prayed for. You never see them. You don't know what kind of attitude they had. If they were going to come with respect, with reverence, with the right approach, giving God his right title. Amen. If they had the faith to take a rebuke and say, "Not me," to give it unto the dogs. If there was going to be perseverance. If they had the faith to say, "Just speak the word only." Because that is the kind of faith they have to have before we can have this ministry. That is what the seven thunders are for. To make us recognize our position. To give us that faith. Not in the pulpit alone, in the pew. Like Caleb, he could come to Joshua with the commission, hallelujah, and say, "I want my mountain, hallelujah, I know you have promised, and I am coming with faith to the divide of the inheritance, with expectation, with faith in the commission. I know you could fail, but I know the commission cannot fail." You have to get in that place before we can see it. The prophet tells the story. This pastor in the church, oh, he would preach. And he would say, "Oh, pastor, the Lord is with you." He's a pastor, which I could take this wheelbarrow. I could take this wheelbarrow and roll it over this log. I could put some bricks inside of it and go over that log. They praise God, pastor, we believe that the Lord is with you. He said, and one day the pastor said, "I could take this wheelbarrow, put these bricks in it, put you inside of it, and push it over the same log." They say, "Now wait a minute, pastor. Amen. We don't kind of go in for that." It sounded good to them as long as it didn't involve them. But Martha, amen. She had to say, "Even now, Lord." The Roman centurion had to say, "Speak the word only." The Syrophoenician woman had to say, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs." Hallelujah! And the prophet was showing us for this ministry, the third pole, the people have to come into that atmosphere, have to come up into that level. And this dark, stormy hour, when the testimony services are over, and they rode about 25 furlongs, and they didn't see Jesus for a long time, he had come walking in the water with a message of identification, calling them to come. Hallelujah! Don't stay in the boat and tremble. Don't stay in the boat and think it's a spirit. You've got to come into this level. He stood there displaying the revelation that he can master all circumstances, all things on his feet. Hallelujah! Amen! And he stood there in the same storm, economic storm, political storm, religious storm, all kind of storm, amen. Dreadful hour, treacherous waters, dark skies, but he stood there, hallelujah, with full control over the entire situation. Amen. And those disciples who was there in that hour when they heard that message of identification. Amen. Saying, "It is I." And Peter Brother, it's something that strike him in his heart. The other disciples, at first they were saying the Spirit. You better watch these new revelations. You better watch these people. You better watch this kind of business. Amen.
Amen.
This thing kind of strange. This thing making too much of demands on your life. This thing putting me in a spot where my faith will have to react. It'll kind of make me look like a half year. And I don't want to be seen that way. I don't want to be seen that I don't have control over the situation. And this kind of message calling me to manifestation. It wants me to step out. And I know my foot on a good foundation. I could feel the boat under my feet. But to step out in that water. Oh, my heart, a mind battle. And while I was going through all that mind battle and all them questions, and the storm was raging, the word among the group of believers of the revealed word message that Elijah introduced, identifying, it is I, in bright form, be not afraid, be of good cheer. Amen. And while they was there, he was in the same storm, mastering those circumstances. He, instead of a spirit of fear and doubt, had a spirit of love and power of a strong mind. And all these believers, who one moment, a few moments ago, they were testifying of the world. The next moment, they were calling the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That fear and doubt had a wrong conception. Because maybe the message of identification was kind of too strong. And he began to call them. Peter. Something began to strike his heart. It went past his mind. Oh yes, he had mind battles. Oh yes, he couldn't figure out a lot of things. But that word was finding a place in his heart. Amen. Hallelujah. He wasn't going to wait around. He was in a time of transition. Amen. He was going to get victory over his mind battles. Because Peter had something inside him. He didn't just want to go along testifying about him, about what the prophet did. What he saw being displayed. He wanted to see it in his own life. Amen. No doubt. Something was saying, if he could do that in this storm and he's not in a boat and he has no fear, why should I be frightened? Why should I be coward when I suppose to be part of the same word? Hallelujah! He was in a moment of decision, and under the inspiration of that message of identification, he began to receive an intense, burning desire. He wanted to see those things manifested in his own life, those things that he saw the Son of Man displayed under the fourth seal when hell was on the earth. Hallelujah! When he was standing there, Peter wanted to see those things in his own life. He had a decision to make. He knew it was going to be a personal thing. He cried out, Lord, if it's you, hallelujah. It is too clear. It is too plain. It is too scripture. I doubt it's a spirit. It's only God can do it so. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. What about you, Peter? Are you going to stay in the boat? Are you going to stay here? Are you going to stay there caught up? Are you going to stay with your mind battles? He is saying, come. Come into rapture and faith. Come into
the world will master all circumstances. That anointing, super anointing, is coming down upon you. Oh my. That word, that seven seal Christ who has been revealed under the fourth seal in this age. Hallelujah! While all them powers was uniting, all them ecclesiastical clouds was gathering together, all them political winds was getting strong, the devil was in the waters, in them people, it was all coming together to destroy the followers of the revealed word that Elijah had introduced. Hallelujah! And in that hour, when Satan was shaken, Jesus come walking on the water. Hallelujah! The world come walking. It is I. Be not afraid. You don't have to have a spirit of fear and bondage. He will give you a spirit of love, of power, of a sound mind, a spirit of adoption. Amen. My. Amen. He had his own decision to make. The little crowd he was with was calling it a spirit. The testimony couldn't master the circumstance. It was my past age. Well, sweet and bitter waters call the same spring. There's blessing and cursing with the same amount. Amen. I tell you,
amen.
Right in that hour, beat like a spiritual astronaut. Decide to break the sound barrier. Hey, break the barrier of voices. Hallelujah! Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Hallelujah! And that word, watch him, and to come. In other words, come where I am. Come here. Things are under your feet, where you have full dominion, where you can master all circumstances. The rest of them might have think that Peter was being too easily influenced of something he wasn't certain of. Let's go and know Peter. He'll get carried away quick. Very emotional. And all will get moved quickly. They didn't see he was obeying the command of the word. Because supernaturally, that word was like a guided missile. It was hanging. It was circling. It was looking for a heart that said, I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Where could drop him? Hallelujah. And struck Peter. It exploded with faith. He looked at the same storm that had him in fear one moment ago. And the glory and the power of the word and the authority with which the word spoke, it blew all flues out his mind. He was focusing into a channel where he was receiving supernatural instructions. Sitting there in his seat in the boat. Hallelujah! In that dark hour, God was speaking in his soul. And the word that he saw and began to recognize to be the truth began to push him in action. Climb up on the rails of that boat. He was going over! Glory to God! He began to come under the anointing of the seventh seal.
Hallelujah! The seventh seal, that mighty angel. Hallelujah! He's that seventh seal. He was speaking. They come. And Peter was saying, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming, Lord. He was desperate. Amen. Nothing was going to keep him back. No formality. He didn't care what John said, no. He didn't care what Andrew said, no. He didn't study Andrew and Philip was in the message before him. Hallelujah! Glory! He was locked in a channel with having communion with the word that was speaking, saying, come up into another level. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When it gets dark and gloomy, when the squeeze come, there'll be a minister of the third power. There'll be a people who can take the word and hand it there. God will bring a bride in that realm so the rapture could be manifested. Oh, there in the boat, says, maybe Jonas and Andrew, you going too? Andrew said, let me ask Nathaniel, you know the scripture is good. Nathaniel, what do you think? He said, well, you be careful with new things, you know. You see me? Oh, my. And maybe Philip or one of them was saying, but it's sung the same way. Like the one who broke the bread. Like the one who did in our heart. Like the one who Elijah introduced. Like the one who called us. It sung the same way to me. Because in our way he speaks the word. There is a way that he speaks the word.
Amen.
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 See, they didn't hesitate to identify as a spirit or some demon or something. And that same one was the one who had broken the bread. But what's something? I want you to see the obligation of the word to those whom he has given the command and are in obedience to the command. As Peter began to walk off. Amen. Oh, right there and then. He was all anointed. He had broken into that channel again. Somehow he broke into that channel again. Like the first time he said, thou art the Christ. Now here he is breaking the channel again. Lord, if it be done. It was something about that word in Peter's soul. And he became so anointed. He became a master of the circumstances. He began to have control over it also. Amen. But you see, like in the baby stage, you can walk and fall and walk and get up. Like the prophet, when he spoke the word to the squirrel, finally it was taking long. He thought it was taking long. And he got to walk away. And the voice said, stay right there. You already spoke it. It is going to come to pass. He said, God was training me. Amen. Now watch here. And Peter, he was coming in obedience to the word. And know that when he began to go down, as he began to let all those things, those voices, what is he aiming to the air gate? What he was seeing to the eye gate, he began to fail to bring those things into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And it began to have him unsettled. And what he allowed begin to condemn him. He began to go down. And he began to go down. He was going down, but he had went out under obedience to the word. And because the word would tell him to come, even though he was failing, that word was obligated to raise him back up.
And I can imagine when they saw Peter begin to go down, they say, see the same thing? It's a good thing all of us didn't step out yet. Amen. I know to play it safe. I know to play it safe. Amen. See, but the word went to his assistants. The word went to his assistants and began to perfect what was lacking in his faith. Then those who were afraid to step out in faith, they had to come back around and say, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Say, yeah, boy, you know, I begin to see how it's true, the truth, you know. Yeah, but that's really the word, boy. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So notice from my atmosphere of fear, doubt, and insecurity. Having a wrong conception of the word that Elijah introduced. By casting down reasons and imaginations, pulling down every stronghold, he began to get into a channel of communication with the anointed word. And Peter began to receive inner strength that make him now begin to look away from the circumstances, and all he could see was the word. Amen. But many of us could only see the circumstances as it get dark, and we become so negative in our speech, and we become so defensive, and we try to use all our human ability to make ourselves more secure and to try to avert the conditions. See, but that word had come to give them power, not to change the order of the day. It has to be so. The winds have to get together. The sky has to get dark. The devil has to make that move to destroy the believers. But he comes to give power to master the circumstances. Even though it is that way. But those conditions was manifesting that many didn't have the quality of revelation to master the circumstances. Amen. Those conditions was revealing the true shape that they were in. Amen. So we see him again in this hour. Brother Ram says, trying to lift us up to a higher level, to bring us into a rapture in faith. And we close with this perfect faith. Faith to the tree. It's coming to that third pole. This is what we waited for. It's like I did it for a purpose. I'm working out something. It's taking this charge of faith and going right back to begin and come. To kind of raise faith in a bracket where you never noticed it that way before. Not a faith, but a perfect faith built up in here. And watch a perfect God with a perfect heart keep a perfect promise by his perfect word, will be sharper than a two-edged sword. Sharper than a two-edged sword. And a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. We are coming now to that perfection. Because people have got to come to this in order for the rapture. That's what holds it away right now. Waiting for the church to come into that perfect raptured faith. I'm looking for you, says. It means a lot of shaking down for me. It means a lot for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. And God has to bring us up into the realm of revelation. Where that faith in that revelation will be just as good as the vision. Because in Mark 11:23, if you say, be thou removed.
So look right here, in this little scene, we see the evening time, we see the darkness moving in, we see the Son of Man, the believers of the Son of Man, who Elijah introduced, the winds, the waves, the storm moving in, the fourth watch. When it comes to the message of identification, the conditions that uncover the fears and the doubts, the false conception of the revealed word, the false conception of the revealed word, the very word they were testifying about, and then the call to come into a higher level of faith. Amen. The believer under the influence of the revealed word, stepping out for that confirmation. Amen. Amen. Because they were not going to stay in the boat and see him confirm that word. They had to step out. Brother Bram says, I had to let go the first pole to get the second. I had to let go the second to get the third. He said, so the only thing I know now is to let go and step out and feel for that super anointing. Amen. Amen. And here we are. We have to step out. And this hour, many are coming to a rude awakening where we are realizing that our little testimony of what is in the past and all these things is something more than that. He said that went off on the opportunities that the revival had presented. Having a good little time, but they failed to realize the bottomless pit was open. Hell was being created. The powers was uniting to bring a squeeze, to take the world to Armageddon, to squeeze this bride out, to bring back a persecution. Amen. And they move right into it. And they caught themselves into a place. But that word is eyes on them all the time. He was watching them. He knew that all was going to come. And he came back around after about 25, 30 followers. After about 20 years, identifying it is I, the same one, the same Jesus, back there. Be not afraid. All that fear, one day in this, one day in that. Could it be all that double-mindedness? How many unstable in the ways? He was blowing that out and bringing him to a higher level of faith for a real promise, for a real manifestation. His call this evening is come. Come. Step out and feel for the super anointing. God promised it. He is going to bring it to pass. He keeps all of his promises. He watches over all of his word. And if you are coming under obedience to his promise, he's obligated to you. He's not going to fall in desperation. Cry out! You reach for that hand. Charity never fails. Amen! Bring it back up. Back to our place where you stand. Peter began to see in his own life being manifested what the Lord was manifesting. Amen. What he desired to see, what he stepped out to find, it was there. We must recognize that we are part of it. We have to step out there. May we all stand. You might be in your mind baffled. You might be have all these things blowing through your mind. But could you realize? Could you recognize his presence? Amen. The presence of God amongst us. Amen. How wonderful that is. To know he's right here amongst us. Amen. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, and the birds play softly. A doubly needle. Hear what the prophet says. Calling Jesus on the scene. A message calling Jesus on the scene. Page 3. He said, my purpose has been in the church to try to get that idea away from the people
that you have to lay hands on them. When you do that, they say, well, brother so-and-so laid hands on me. Just let Jesus lay hands on you, see? And your faith reach up and touch him. I've had about 16 years. I've totally failed with it. Because there is too many that want to believe it the other way. And we satisfy people. We do it anyhow. Lay hands on them. But my opinion, that if you can see the presence and know that Jesus Christ is here, what more do you need? When the whole congregation is praying at one time, see, that's when the power of the Lord falls. When the word is known, faith coming by hearing, and hearing of the word. When the word is being preached, and it is the truth, and God proving his presence, that should do the work right there. Amen. And that's what we've been trying to do. Recognize his presence here amongst us. Have faith in God. Have faith in his word. When the lightning is flashing, when the thunder is rolling, when it's really dark and gloomy, like the little boy said, we want a God with skin on it. Hallelujah! God, in this dark hour, given us a God with skin on it. That is how he promised to reveal himself in bright form in his people in this hour. Oh, when the congregation is praying, that's when the power of God falls. Let us pray. Let us talk to him. Let us expect it. Let that dove fly down into your heart. Push you out, yeah. Step out. Be not afraid. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh God, as we come in your presence, Lord, realizing the hour is here, and we are under expectation for the promise, Lord. We have received a word vision. We have watched down to the years. Oh God, how things have been. But Lord, we've seen the scriptures. In that time of testimony, they were testifying. They were followers of the word. They had followed the revealed word. And Lord God, you had dismissed them. They went on without you. But oh God, all of a sudden, something happened. The scene began to change. Father, we see the changing of the time. We see the changing in the hour. We see the conditions changing. We see the demon powers moving in. We see a shaking time, Lord. So many things have been shaken down. So many people have been falling away. Oh God, little ships tossed to and fro in the sea. Demon power. Oh God, a spirit of fear. Grip many hearts. Spirit of bondage. But Lord, in that hour of desperation, in that hour when it looks like the devil is going to destroy everything, Father, you promised you would ride his trail one more time. Lord, we see that 70th Christ come walking in the water. We see that word come, a message of identification. Oh, God saying, come, calling them, Lord, into a higher level of faith for the promise where we can see manifested in our own lives what we saw in the life of the Son of Man. Father, I pray, oh God, may we break every barrier, every strong barrier. May we bring every thought into captivity. May that revelation strike us in the inner man. May we cast down reasons, cast down imaginations, pull down strongholds, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I pray, dear God, that the power of revelation, oh God, you focus them in by sovereign grace. These, oh God, who have a deep, who desire these things, Lord, who is looking, is hungering, who don't want to be negative, but want to be positive. I pray, oh God, as it strike them in the heart, to rise up, to step over the reins of the boat, to walk up into that sea where the power of God can move into their hearts, where something real in the lives, Lord. You promised these things, Father. We are looking
secret. Maybe not check, Lord God. Just for a little testimony, a little story. But oh God, the hour's here. We must have faith that will master all circumstances. Unfailing faith. Conquering faith. Perfect faith. May you grant tonight, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. May you grant for that people. Amen.